Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black, as we kick off this Victory Monday here on Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. How are we today? Two thumbs up from Cam, very quickly. Cam's feeling good. Picked the NASCAR winner, his Falcons dominate the Saints. He's living life. Cody McClure, how are you?
Doing pretty good, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. Monday. I like Monday. Not as much as I like Friday, but hey, here we are. Good weekend. Good to see Tennessee get a win over Kentucky. How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. Tennessee beat Kentucky. That had me fired up on Saturday. That was a good win. That made me feel good.
Yeah.
I went to Nashville yesterday on very little sleep after voluntary reaction.
Big, big win.
Caught like 4 hours of sleep, woke up, hit the road to watch my Titans come through and do what I said they were going to do, beat the Chiefs, get to 5-5 and make everyone excited. And then ultimately we'll still stumble to 8-8 or 9-7, but for at least 2 weeks we have hope. So that was fun.
Oh, so you got a bye week.
Yep, got a bye week coming up right now.
Okay.
Get ready for the bye.
That's good because that's not an immediate loss.
Exactly.
After the win against the Chiefs.
No, we're going to win the next game out, too. It's a home game in Jacksonville, so we're going to win that one. We're going to be 6-5.
Okay.
And then we go to Indy the next week, and that's when it all starts like coming unraveled.
Okay.
Unless they're still playing Brian Hoyer, which I don't know what Jacoby's knee situation is, but, you know, the Colts did take a big L to the Miami Dolphins yesterday, so I'm not scared of going to Indy. But if Jacoby's back and T.Y.'s back and they're healthy, then, yeah, that'll probably be where the Titans then break my heart. So
Dolphins are a different team with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
They're competent.
Yeah.
Well, they had Fitzpatrick at the beginning of the year when they were getting beat by 40 points.
He just wasn't in his groove yet.
Yeah.
And then they thought it was smart to go to Josh Rosen, and why would you do that?
But now they're going to rally, and now they're going to rally and win 4 or 5 games, and Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to tell everybody, like, hey, I'll stay here next year and help groom this young quarterback you draft, so – give me some more money. That's what he does.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a good Saturday and a good Sunday. Both your teams won. It's hard to beat that in a weekend.
It's a good feeling. Yeah. I was a little mad at my Hawks last night. They ruined my perfect sports weekend by getting beaten overtime in Portland. They kind of blew that game. But,
yeah.
You know, I'll sacrifice that.
Lakers got beat, too.
Yeah, Lakers. I mean, the Raptors are pretty good. Siakam's a star, and the Raptors, I guess everyone thought was going to be kind of done after Kawhi left, but they still look like one of the best teams in the East. So, yeah, your weekend, maybe. It's a November basketball game. It's not that big of a deal. Lakers,
yeah,
still,
I mean, it's,
Lakers, you know, still at the top of the West, so it's okay.
Yeah.
You just don't want to lose at home, I understand.
No, I mean, you know, you hate losing, but, it, you know, Tennessee won. It all balanced out. I had crabs, so it was, you know, it's all good.
How were the crabs?
Good.
Yeah,
I like crabs.
Okay.
Yeah. One of my favorite meats. You like crab? Crab meat?
I don't have any strong feelings about it.
Like it, but it's not.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to go through all the trouble of cracking
don't
it.
Don't care too much about it.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of trouble. You just crack it and pull it. And
okay. Well, it always looks like trouble. Whenever I see people like order crabs,
does that
I'm just
mean
like,
you haven't had crab legs?
No, I've had crab legs.
Oh, well, you said it looks like trouble, but.
Well, I mean, I've had crab legs where other people have cracked it for me and just be like, hey, you want some? And then I'll eat it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've never ordered crab legs.
I see. Well, we went
I've been on a cruise or a buffet or something that's had crab legs before, so maybe I have actually cracked it before.
Mm.
Just haven't ordered it like at a restaurant. It's fine. I used to have a roommate who would buy crab meat from like the grocery store, and then microwave it, which I always thought was really weird.
That's disgusting.
That's what I always thought. I was like, this seems a little dangerous. Like, this is something I feel like you should properly cook. Microwavable crab meat doesn't seem appealing to me.
Yeah, and they have that imitation crab you can buy in the bag. Yeah. I don't
maybe that was what he was getting. I don't know. He would go to town on it, though, all the time.
Yeah, that's kind of gross.
They'd send some butter with him, and he'd just slather that little liquid butter all over it or whatever it is and just go to town.
Good fresh crab, though, is tough to beat to me. I like it. But anyway, we got this, me and Brandon got this seafood, like, boil thing, you know, and the Cajun seasoning, the Creole or whatever, you know, it's kind of hot, corn, potatoes, and it came with crab, sausage, love sausage, and shrimp, and what else? Clams. So it was very good, very good.
All right.
I was impressed.
Another victory for you on Victory Monday.
Yes. Probably the highlight of my weekend other than the Tennessee win.
Okay.
So
Tennessee win was fun.
Yeah, it was nerve-wracking.
We had it wrong. I said that throw to Juwan Jennings against South Carolina where he broke his wrist was his Theon Greyjoy moment. But no, he still has to continue his evolution. That was maybe like helping Sansa escape Ramsey's control and he still has some redemption left, but Jarrett Garantano, who has earned the name for now, I will pronounce his name correctly this week, Garantano, came in and bailed out Jeremy Pruitt and bailed out Tennessee and played really well in that second half and led Tennessee to victory. Cody McClure was right when he asked everybody to quit being so mean to Garantano after the Alabama game.
I'd like to proudly make that clear as well. That
I give you your credit.
I never ever left my boy Garantano.
I gave you credit.
All you people after the Alabama game, just sickening. It
was
sickening.
It was a big win. It was a big weekend for Cody McClure. His Jarrett Garantano defense looks really good. He told you all week that LSU was going to beat Alabama, and sure, maybe he tweeted it out right before the game that he was picking Alabama instead, but
there's no evidence of that.
You diminished it a little bit, but it was the radio's all that matters.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the radio is all that matters. I mean, if this
people already had their bets locked in before you changed your mind.
Yeah, if this
Alabama.
Were the 90s or the 2000s, I mean, you wouldn't have to worry about things that happen on Twitter.
What gave you cold feet? Why'd you bail on your pick?
Somebody took my phone. We partied a little bit Saturday. We had kind of a crazy day, and so I think somebody took my phone at some point, and you know, I just leave it. I don't have a passcode. I just leave it where you can unlock it.
Sure.
I think I had the Twitter on, and I got up to go to the bathroom or something. And what's Bear saying?
What's Bear saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he just texted me saying, if the Station Fantasy League comes up today, you might want to point out that Bama Billy has a cakewalk to the playoffs using mainly players Cody traded him.
Hmm. You should point out to Bear that I'm going to defeat him in fantasy this I pretty much have him beat.
I don't know if he's listening, but I'm not going to text all that back. So
he sounds kind of upset that I just.
I don't know.
Maybe it's because I beat him.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, somebody I don't know what they tweeted, something about Alabama. I deleted it as quick as I could, but. I rode with LSU the whole time, so.
I was really sad to see that you bailed on your pick. I was really sad to see you had such a strong conviction.
I still did.
And then you hedged your bet at the end and said, actually, I'm feeling Alabama, guys.
I may have had a second thought or two. I don't know.
What happened? What went through your mind? Because as it got closer to game time, I got more confident in LSU. I actually was like, hey, LSU is going to win. And I was wanting to text you and Cam, say, hey, take it off the board. But like, I was like, you know what? I'll honor the radio.
I mean, truth be told, I can't really take full credit for it because, you know, I had second thoughts. I don't know what it was. I got to thinking, man, it's Alabama at home. It's Nick Saban off a bye week.
That first drive, first drive when Alabama went right down the field, you're like, oh, looks like, you know, Tua looks a little bit healthier than Gary Danielson acted. And, oh, yeah, we're taking Ed Orgeron to beat Nick Saban after a bye week.
Yeah.
But then Tua fumbled, you know, kind of just trying to scramble, just drop the ball. And it would have been third down.
Fumble.
And, you know, they would have had to kick a field goal anyways, but. Yeah, then from that moment on, LSU poured it on and really dominated that game. And now Alabama should be out of the playoff. I think they should be out. I don't think they should have a chance to get back in that four spot. So that was a big win. And then, yeah, in Lexington, Tennessee kind of continued the perfect sports weekend. It's always nice when Alabama loses, and then Tennessee, you know, people were counting down the moments to that game, looking forward to it, and then you got a really bad start. A really bad start in the game.
That was a horrifying first half.
We talked on the radio last week, and I said, look, you can't. What the best scenario for Tennessee is to win the toss, take the ball, drive down the field and score, and put pressure on Kentucky. Tennessee won the toss. Jeremy Pruitt deferred. Kentucky immediately went on a 10-minute drive for a touchdown. Tennessee goes three and out, gets a punt blocked, and then you're just really looking like, oh, no, this is going to be bad. Now, I will say that it was nice to be down 13-3 at half. Only 13-3 at half in some regards because, you know, Kentucky, if I'm Mark Stoops, I'm really regretting some of my decisions to punt in the second quarter with the game. You know, whenever we could have really taken control of the game, he got conservative and punted. And then they dodged the pick six where Nigel Warrior makes a great play but steps out of bounds, and that cost Tennessee 7 points. And, you know, 13-3, you're like, okay, we're in okay shape. So then it was nice to get the ball first after half, so I won't, you know, pile on Jeremy Pruitt, even though I thought it was a bad decision at the time to defer. It worked out because Tennessee immediately went down the field with Jarrett Garantano, scored a touchdown, and then show that they can make halftime adjustments. It was nice to see, like, hey, we're going to stop this run game of Kentucky, and they were able to do that.
Yeah, Jeremy Pruitt, the second half adjustments that he's made in the last few games, the last five games, he's only given up 7 points, or I think 14 points total, or let me relook. I'll look at the stat, and I'll bring it a little bit more of a professional. Give me just a couple moments.
All right, I'll wait.
So that I don't just have to stumble through what I saw.
It's okay.
Okay. All right, in the second halves of the last five games, Tennessee's defense has allowed a total of 21 points.
Yes.
7 against Mississippi State, only 7 at Bama, shutout Carolina, 7 against UAB, shutout Kentucky in the second half. So that's
The 7 against Alabama, weren't those the defensive points too?
Yeah,
did Alabama's offense score in the second half? Or?
Let me go look at that game breakdown.
I don't know if I recall Mac Jones leading a touchdown drive. He might have. It's been a while, but
yeah, that's the stat.
Well, they ended up winning by 21. So yeah, maybe he did. Maybe they did score a touchdown.
They did. They scored a touchdown in the third quarter.
Okay. Second half adjustments have been good. The defense has been good. As far as we've talked about with the Jarrett Garantano redemption, there's another player I think deserves just as much credit for his redemption that he's having right now. We'll talk about him and Tennessee's defense next. It's a fun win. I don't mind starting the show with Tennessee football whenever they're playing this well. I like talking about them whenever they're playing this well. We'll continue the conversation. It's Talk Sports powered by Lloyd's Electric. Talk Sports is powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. Facility maintenance will give you a 10-time return on your investment. You'll have a reduction in maintenance costs, an elimination of breakdowns, reduction in downtime, and an increase in production. You add all that up together, 10 times your return on investment. Extend your assets lifetime. Save some money on corrective repairs. Better margins and better profits. LloydsElectricService.com, your business, our priority. LloydsElectricService.com, 865-692-6700, if you want to contact them. Talked about Jarrett Garantano's redemption. This character arc he's on is really good. This is all going to culminate with Tennessee going 7-5. And Garantano getting carried off the field as the fans chant, one more year, one more year, one more year. But I think on the defensive side of the ball, man, like Nigel Warrior He's someone who is figuring it out right at the right time. Like his development, I don't know if I'm supposed to give Ansley and Pruitt all the credit or if it's a story of a four-star legacy kid with a lot of talent finally figuring it out and reaching his potential. I don't know who deserves the credit. It's probably a mixture of both. But Nigel Warrior, Cody, has been really, really good for Tennessee since the first couple weeks. Like, he has turned it on. Having a little bit of a Jonathan Crompton type of finish as the quarterback of the defense. And I know, like, Petulli's probably the actual quarterback of the defense, but Nigel's been the guy making plays.
Yeah, Nigel Warrior, he had a big game on Saturday. I was looking through Missouri's schedule. I don't understand how you start 5-1 and then you lose to Vanderbilt and Kentucky.
Well, who are the five teams they beat? West Virginia sucks.
Ole Miss.
That reminds me. There's been this West Virginia fan who was talking trash to me earlier in the year. He talked trash to me all last year. I'm going to go slide in his DMs. It's
probably the one that sent you the gummies.
I don't think it is, but I'm going to go find him and slide in his DMs. I mean, because I don't know if you saw, but West Virginia's on a five-game losing streak. They got smacked by Texas Tech.
Why slide in his DMs? You could make it public.
I don't want to do that. He messages me all the time. He always DMs me, so there's a thread. Oh. I don't want to get like in a public spat with him. More so than just like talking about on the radio, but like,
which is really plus I'm allowed as to.
I can also like cuss him out if I'm in the DMs. I don't like cussing on the timeline. I'm professional.
What are you gonna say?
Something good.
Something really just mean. Just
I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Family.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. Here he is.
You should talk about his family.
Last time we talked was September 5th. His last thing he sent was, here are the last, he got mad and kept sending me all these things in a row. Like, let me, if you see, like, he's like eight messages in a row. How am I embarrassed, he asked. You should be embarrassed. You called out West Virginia fans last year, and now you can't back it up. You, sir, are what they call a meow. If West Virginia played Tennessee every year, it would be a guaranteed win every game. You guys are horrible. And then a screenshot that shows West Virginia has 80 less wins as a program than Tennessee, which I don't know what he was going for there. Maybe saying like, hey, we're not that bad. We're top 15. I kind of didn't really understand what he was going with there.
I'm kind of surprised.
As you can see, maybe he was just like, hey, you need to put respect on West Virginia. We're good. We're top 14 all time. Were you about to say you're surprised by that?
Yeah, we only have 80 more wins than West Virginia all time.
838 to 753 whenever he sent this. So, I mean.
How about that?
Add five to us and add maybe one to them. So
they've
probably
been around longer.
So it worked. His screenshot worked on you. Like, hey, you guys aren't that much better than
us. It kind of surprised me. That he sent you all that 2 days before Missouri beat him 38-7.
For being such a historic program, Tennessee isn't that much further ahead. It keeps going. This is over like an hour.
Just 8-10 win season.
You guys won four out of your five national championships before 1967. Bleep off. A couple minutes later. Put some respect on West Virginia name.
That's a good point,
you SEC shill.
That is a good point by him. If he really wanted to take a shot, though, he would mention that consensus-wise, we only have two national championships. Yeah. That's what I would argue against Tennessee.
I don't know
fans.
How he gets five. How do we got six? So like either you have to represent. Yeah, we claim either you six. Have to acknowledge all six or just be like two, like you said.
Right.
Which I don't know where he got five.
If I were arguing with a Tennessee fan, that's what I would say. I would be like, yeah, really, you only have two, and one is in the modern era, and it took a Clint Sterner fumble and Florida State having a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I were to argue with a Tennessee fan, which I would not do, because I mean, clearly, you know,
sure,
but. But if I was him. That's funny. He sent you that on September 5th. 2 days later, Missouri, 38-7.
And now here I am. I'm going to double back 2 months later and just twist the knife a little bit. Now that we're back to 500 and things are looking good and they've lost five in a row.
How are things going?
Yeah. I just said, West Virginia's looking great, really solid.
You should just
keep something simple like that.
You should just keep this going for years.
Yeah. It has been going for years. It started last year, and for some reason, he started messaging me. Maybe it was after we lost to like BYU, I guess, or maybe even after Georgia State. I don't know. He just brought it back up, so I'll update you on how this goes in the DMs now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, they are 1-5.
New coach. This was expected.
Oh, that's just in the they're 3-6 overall.
Oh, was it? I don't remember that same energy. when Tennessee lost to West Virginia with a new coach.
They did beat Kansas.
A new coach.
They've lost to Texas, Chris. Iowa State, Oklahoma, Baylor, and Texas Tech. There's really no bad losses in there. Texas Tech, I mean, Texas Tech blew them out. Be really cool if they could have lost to Kansas.
Nigel Warrior with that pick. That was a, you know, game-saving moment at the time because they were driving to go up maybe, you know, three scores. When you thought it was a pick six, I mean, it was rocking at Elkmont Exchange where we were watching the game. People were really excited. It ended up stepping out of bounds. And, of course, the camera angle just worked perfectly where all the bodies just happened to clear out right when Nigel Warrior stepped out of bounds, which is a little bit of bad luck. But I really love the fourth down stop. Was Nigel Warrior taking the pitch, man, perfectly, making Bowden keep the ball? There was a play earlier in the game on an option where Nigel Warrior blew up a blocker and was able to make the tackle, and if he doesn't make that tackle, it's 20, 30 yards at least. Nigel Warrior balled out. I think he's played really well and deserves to be mentioned when you're talking about redemption.
Butch's boys getting it done out there.
Some of Butch's boys are getting it done. Write the blog. Butch's boys part two.
My column. Colon. They are getting it done out there. That's good. It's good to have some upperclassmen leadership. You know, some guys that have been around the program that can kind of pave the way for Pruitt's young guys. They're clearly getting better. I mean, they're a much better team than they were. I mean, it goes without saying in September, but I think if they can finish this season unbeaten, or, you know, finish it, you know, 7-5, finish it 8-5, get a bowl win, we're going to have a lot of momentum going into next season. I think we're all going to be really expecting to compete for the East next year.
If Tennessee can take care of business, and I don't know what this Missouri game will look like in 2 weeks. Like, I, as tired as Tennessee looked in the first quarter, first half, Kentucky coming off of a bye week, like, that had you worried. Tennessee will now have that advantage when they go to Columbia, right?
Yeah, and Missouri will be coming off games against Georgia and Florida.
They'll be tired. Tennessee will be rested. Tennessee will be confident. And I think Missouri's going to lose to Florida, right? Like, don't we expect them to lose to Florida?
Oh, yeah. I would, yeah.
So, I mean, that would be.
They just lost to Vandy.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Then they got shut out by Georgia. I'm just pointing out they're going to be on a four-game losing streak most likely, right?
Yeah, Florida is definitely beating them.
With no bowl game to play for, they still have their ban. Like, Missouri is close to where they could just kind of pack it up and take it to the crib.
I'm hoping that Florida takes their will, if they have any will left.
Feels a little bit like 2015 potential with the Missouri-Tennessee game where you go over there and the crowd's not into it. It was like Gary Pinkel's last game. It's cold, and everyone's like, this team's not going anywhere. We're not showing up. Feels like it has some of that potential.
It feels a little bit like that they're already broken.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if Florida can go ahead and finish this job, Tennessee might come in with a, you know, distinct advantage. Because I do think right now Missouri's still going to be favored, at least if the spread came out today. Like, the analytics and the stuff point to a 7-point favorite or so.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, just because they're pretty good at home, and I don't know, the numbers, I guess, probably are still weighing equally, like, early in the year, like, and not so much just the last couple weeks.
If you look at the direction of the two teams right
sure.
now, Tennessee, there's no reason you would expect Missouri to win.
I don't think Missouri will be 7-point favorites when it comes time for it. I do think they'll be favored, unless, you know, this Florida game just goes really, really poorly. But I'd say Missouri will open up as a field goal favorite or so, kind of like Kentucky did.
Yeah, maybe so. I could see Florida beating them down, though, 42-0 or something like that. But
So Jeremy Pruitt all of a sudden has a chance to go 5-3 in the SEC, and
that would equal Butch's best best season in SEC play.
And that has to mean that it's our best SEC season in
since 2016.
But I mean, like, if you just remove that one, but like, I mean, being at least on par, we haven't had a better SEC season than this in how many years?
Well, if you're saying remove,
I'm saying we haven't had, there hasn't been one better.
Right. Yeah.
Since like what? Like,
I guess 2007.
Weren't we 5-3 that year, or were we 6-2?
Were we 5-3 in SEC?
Maybe not. Maybe we were 6-2. I don't know.
That year we lost. Dame, Florida, okay. Alabama.
And that would be it then, and then LSU, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were 10-4.
Okay. So we were 6-2 in the SEC.
No, we didn't lose to Notre Dame. We lost to Cal.
Okay.
And then we got beaten down by Florida.
Okay.
Remember when Eric Berry had the touchdown return?
Yeah.
But we still lost, okay, like, so 59-20.
For some reason, I thought we were 5-3.
And then somehow Florida. Record,
but I guess not.
No, nah, we were 6-2 that year.
Okay.
I'm positive.
Okay. So, I mean, you haven't had a better potential SEC season since 2007. Now, again, you know, we talked about in 2016, you went 5-3?
Yeah, and 15, I guess you did in 15 too, right? Because the losses were to Arkansas, Florida, and Bama. Because the other was Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, that'll still equal Butch's two best seasons. Of course, we didn't win our non-conference game, so it doesn't feel quite as good. But
No, 9-3 was right on the 9-3 was right on the table. And that'll be something that will be thought about for a long time if Tennessee is able to do this. But at the same time, you'll still look and say, okay, big winning streak and redemption of sorts for some key players and this coaching staff.
And it's kind of a testament too, just to come back from that, you know, because as weak of a moment as that was. Everybody's talking about what a good coaching job Jeremy Pruitt has done just to get him back from that. And I think I tend to agree. You know, people are talking about him like SEC Coach of the Year, and I don't think he'll get that. I figure Coach O will get that. But
yeah, Coach O should be the Coach of the Year. Like, yeah, I'm sorry, like, Jeremy Pruitt did a good job, but I'm not going to give Jeremy Pruitt SEC Coach of the Year in the same year he lost to Georgia State and BYU.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's not going to happen. I'll say good job, Jeremy Pruitt.
I'm proud of him for digging out of that hole.
Yeah, no, like, he could go in feeling good, but I'm not giving him SEC Coach of the Year. Not with LSU and Ed Orgeron maybe being the number one team in the country at the end of the year and the national champion favorite. That's not something that Jeremy Pruitt should get in a year that he lost to Georgia State and BYU. If he was 9-3, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Coach O, man, he just – that I don't know how you could not want to play for that guy.
No, he's electric.
I mean, those LSU players, I'm sure you saw after the game, them going up to the Bama recruits saying, come play with us, come play with us. I mean, that was pretty cool.
That post-game, did you see this post-game video?
Yeah, in the locker room.
Yeah.
Roll Tide.
We're going to whip the ass in recruiting. We're going to rip the ass every time they line up against us. Roll Tide. Bleep you.
Yeah,
I didn't know that's what those players were doing. So they were going to tell all the recruits to come play there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a time that would be like, yeah, you know what, I'm going to LSU.
And then you see Nick Saban running off the field right as that happens.
I think with that, I would be like, you know what, LSU is where I want
to
be.
Yeah, if you're those players, how could you not think that? You're there to see Alabama, and LSU goes in and wins, and their players come to you and say, come play with us.
I don't know what the situation is with their quarterback class or whatever, but like, I've always wondered, like, why hasn't Harrison Bailey been like, you know what, I want to go play with my Marietta boys. Like, let's just go do it at LSU. Like, okay, BJ and Rakeem, or not Rakeem, but is it Arik Gilbert? He's going to LSU, right? Yeah, the big tight end. Like, yeah, I'll go throw passes to you.
Where's
there.
Where's Rakeem going?
Rakeem, I don't think he's a Marietta boy.
Rakeem Jarrett.
Yeah, but he's still committed to LSU, right?
Yeah,
but he's not a Marietta boy, so I didn't mean. But he apparently is friends with Harrison Bailey.
Yeah,
I think I would just be like, hey, I'm gonna go there, but I don't know if LSU's recruiting them or if they have somebody better in the pipeline or what.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's a program that's got a lot of momentum right now.
No, they're looking good, and I don't know if they'll be able to just kind of keep this rolling with this quarterback, you know, renaissance and their offense all of a sudden being explosive. I don't know if this is just a Joe Burrow is that good or if it's something they can replicate moving forward. But
he was good Saturday.
Oh, no, he was awesome. When I say replicate, I mean like with a new
in
guy.
In the future. Yeah.
Burrow's a real deal. I haven't seen a year-to-year transformation out of a player like this ever. Like in the positive way, I've seen some really good guys become bad, but I haven't seen somebody that I thought was just perfectly average last year.
Yeah, he's locked up the Heisman. I didn't think coming out of that game that we could have a guy that would lock up the Heisman, but I think he's got it. I mean, he's just got to have decent numbers the rest of the way. You know, don't get hurt. Don't have a game where you just completely are awful and lose to Arkansas or something, you know. I think they play Arkansas next, and then they've got I guess they still got to play – is it Ole Miss? I mean, so he should have the Heisman locked up. Which I didn't think I would say coming out of this game, that he would have it locked up, but I think he does.
Good for Tennessee. Feels good to win. 5-5. Same position as last year. Got to finish it off. Got to win at least one more. Losing to Vanderbilt should be a fireable offense if you lose to Vanderbilt this year. I don't care about this goodwill. Get rid of Jeremy Pruitt if he loses and doesn't make a bowl game. I think they will. I think they're going to go 7-5. It's a good time here in Tennessee. We'll see if the recruiting can pick up after a couple more wins. Like, I hope it does. But either way, I'm still going to enjoy this game. And, you know, he's taken some kind of unnamed guys on the defensive line. And those guys made some plays at the end of that game that won Tennessee the game with the goal line stand. You saw my guy. You see the JYD in? The Junkyard Dog in there?
Ooh, ooh, ooh. What a guy.
What a guy. Tennessee gets a win. We'll shift gears. We'll talk some NFL next. Let's talk sports. It's Fan Run Radio.
Disability.
Couple of things to clean up. Weston from the Blitz texts in, Cody. We were saying that, you were saying that we went 5-3 in 2016 in the SEC. That's not true. We went 4-4. 2015, we went 5-3, but not 2016.
I was right about 2015.
Right, but was wrong about 2016.
All right, well.
I mean, he didn't say it that way. He was just trying to be nice about it. He just said.
Oh, he wasn't saying it like. Cody's so
No. He was just like
I'm Weston and Cody is such an idiot.
No, Weston wasn't doing that. He just said 4-4 in 2016. Oh, that's
okay.
All he said.
Okay. Well, thanks for the correction, Weston. I guess.
I mean, he's just doing a little house cleaning, it's okay.
Thanks a lot for putting me on blast. We lost to South Carolina, Vandy.
Alabama and A&M.
A&M.
Yeah.
All those teams are in the SEC.
Even if we don't want them to be.
Which would mean that Weston's correct.
Yeah.
All right, my bad.
It's okay. I was just correcting it for the audience. That way they didn't think we're stupid and spreading false news. I didn't want anyone to go around saying.
They would have forgiven us.
I didn't want anyone going around saying Tennessee went 5-3 back-to-back years with Butch Jones in the SEC because I just
can I not just get credit for remembering the schedule perfectly from 2007?
You win some, you lose some.
I feel like that is more of an achievement. I feel like that should kind of
I don't know what to do with you.
Counter.
You're remembering that, and then you just mess up 2016. But it's like
if you had asked
you're spotting a dime across the room and then eating an onion because you can't see. I don't know what the hell is going on here.
Thought you were going to go somewhere else with that. But if you had asked me who we lost to in 2016, you know I would have given you the right answers.
That's why it was frustrating that you said we were 5-3 in the SEC.
Well, I'm sorry, Weston. I'm sorry that your listening pleasure was
derailed. Weston wasn't complaining. He was just helping.
Because of me.
He was just trying to help the show.
I'm sorry. I screwed up, okay? That's on me. I screwed up. I'm hurting the team with these mistakes, and I've got to get better. I know I've got to get better. I'm sorry. It's on me. It's on me. I might be on cocaine. I'm definitely on steroids. I'm sorry.
Is that your Taylor Lewan impression?
Yeah, that was my Taylor Lewan.
You nailed it.
I think he's on coke. I mean, I don't want to just be reckless, but did you see the way he was, I mean, just moving his head, just, yeah, you know, he was talking very fast, his eyes were big. I'm just saying.
I won't say that. I'll just say that, like, I would imagine that he, the adrenaline's going high after a football game. It'd probably produce similar results as, like, cocaine would. Be, you know, gassed up from hitting somebody for a long time. Wouldn't that, like, give you a lot of adrenaline? No, I mean, I don't know.
I don't think it's the same.
So you think he did, like, cocaine before the game and it was still going on 3 hours later?
I was
thinking
maybe he did a couple of key bumps before the interview with the press, which is understandable. You know, you got to deal with those people there and talk to them. I mean,
especially if you're him and you're having to own up for just mess up after mess up after mess up.
Yeah, well, I get it. It's just, I don't know. He seemed pretty wired to me.
Clint asks, would you rather have lost the first two like we did this year or lose the last two of the year to SEC opponents? Like if I tell you 7-5, would you rather be 5-3 in the SEC at 7-5? With beating Missouri and Vanderbilt and then, you know, being on the win streak, or have won the two, quote, gimme games, or at least the one gimme game and the BYU game, and then lose to Missouri and Vandy?
That's a good question. But honestly, I never would have thought I'd say this, but honestly, the way that we've been against Vanderbilt lately, I think I'd take it this way.
Yeah, and I definitely, like, to me, the what could have been is way easier to be like, hey, you got off the season to a bad start. Like, whatever the hell was going on with Garantano then and whatever was going on with his offense, and the defense wasn't good either, and Jeremy Pruitt was comatose on the sidelines. I would rather look at that and say, hey, we started from the bottom, now we're here, versus we were 7-3 with a chance to go 9-3 and make a big-time bowl game and lose the last two.
Yeah, I think that would hurt worse.
So to answer Clint's question, if I have to have 7-5, I'd rather have 7-5 this way.
That's a good question. And don't get me wrong, Georgia State's the worst loss in program history, but you've got to get to where you're consistently beating Vanderbilt. And that's the first. And we've talked about winning the SEC swing games and showing teams like Kentucky, Vandy, South Carolina, Missouri that they are inferior to you. To me, that's more important. That helps you climb back to eventually competing again with Florida and Georgia. So I think you definitely take the latter option there. I would agree with you.
I mean, obviously, I wish we were just 9-3, but
of course, yeah.
With the way it shook out,
hell, even 8-4. I mean, that BYU game is kind of fluky. I mean, just if we just shown up week one, you know.
I was going to say the BYU game was much more winnable than the Georgia State game, I think. Just make a tackle. You had them backed up at their 10-yard line, needing to go all the way down the field, and they hadn't moved the ball all game, and you get burnt deep. Like, just make a tackle. Make a normal play. And like I said, Nigel Warrior got off to a bad start this year, but he's rallied and become really good.
The BYU game was more winnable in the moment, like watching the games.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way the game
played. I feel
like
if you just show up prepared – to start the season, like that Georgia State game is such a weird just aberration, you know. You just show up and play that game. I mean, just win that one. I could afford the BYU loss.
So
it is what it is.
Answer Clint's question. We appreciate him sending it in. Appreciate him listening. Yeah, I'll take it this way. 7-5 with 5-3 in the SEC because, yeah, it's going to be embarrassing. Always having to kind of remember this Georgia State game and it being on the list of biggest upsets and all that stuff. BYU, whatever, I assume we'll get our revenge in 2024. Whenever we go there, we can get our win back.
Out in Provo?
Yeah, like we'll get our win back and that'll be fine. But
it's a long way from now.
5-3 in the SEC and reminding South Carolina that they're beneath you. Beating a West opponent like Mississippi State. Reminding Kentucky, hey, you're Kentucky. Doing the same to Missouri. Spanking Vanderbilt. That would be more beneficial to the program long term.
It would. And you look at the way last season ended. You were in the exact same spot you are right now. And for whatever reason, Jeremy Pruitt lost the locker room. And you lost to Missouri and Vandy to end the year. So you got to get those games back. It's way more important this year.
Good conversation. Good question. It's weird not having a press conference today. It's the bye week, so we don't have anything from Jeremy Pruitt today. Got anything else to say about Tennessee? I'll give you the commercial break to think about it. Might as well just wrap up this hour with Tennessee talk, and then we'll move to the NFL in hour two. Let's talk sports live from the truly Hard Seltzer Studios. For the third straight week, Tennessee has a SEC Defensive Player of the Week. Daniel Batuli getting the honors for 19 tackles on Saturday. Last week he said, hey, I'll play 100 and something snaps if I have to, just to get the job done. And he came out and he got the job done. 19 tackles.
He's a pretty solid linebacker.
Yeah. For all of his deficiencies that he's shown over the last couple of years, like maybe in pass coverage sometimes, he can go out and tackle the running back or quarterback.
He's a run stopper for sure.
I feel like we didn't take enough pleasure in Bowden faking limping off the field after getting stopped on fourth down. Like, he had all the swag he could muster in the first half. Even hit a little Jordan shrug after a scramble. Like he was Michael Jordan against the Portland Trailblazers. Threw a little shrug up, like, I don't know.
Yeah, acting like he thinks he's Cam Newton.
Thinks he's cute. Thinks he's real cute. And then next thing you know, end of the game, game on the line, stuffed. Then he's like busting a little limp. And then after the game on Twitter and his feelings, talking about their fans being mad at the players.
That always goes well.
Yeah, great idea.
I saw the Kentucky fans, they want to fire Eddie Grand. They were not happy with the play calling and very disappointed in the play calling in the fourth quarter in the second half. I thought they had a pretty good game plan early on, though. I mean, it was working for them. Just eat up the clock, keep us off the field, run all over us. I mean, that's what they did in the first half, but they were not happy with Eddie Grant in the second half. They want to fire him.
And do what?
I don't know. Like, that's what they're saying.
What are you going to do?
Go get somebody else, I guess.
Yeah, like, I mean, what are you going to do? Fire him and...
Who do you think you are?
That's what... I feel like he's done pretty good with what he's been given. Now, I would say, like... I'd be upset if I was a Kentucky fan just that, like, we're having to use a wide receiver at quarterback. But, I mean, you had Terry Wilson go down with an injury. It's not like this was Mark Stoops' plan this year, you know? He thought he had a better plan. Now, whether or not Terry Wilson's any good is another story, but...
Well, and you had the backup get hurt. So it's not like you're... I mean, you were at your third option, you know. Why did Sawyer Smith... Why was he not a factor?
I don't know. They said he was cleared and ready to play. Just they never put him in. Fans were mad they didn't see him in the fourth quarter, but, I mean, like, he wasn't going to do anything either.
I wouldn't think so.
You don't score against Tennessee in the second half. I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen.
If Bama can't do it, neither can you.
Exactly.
I mean, Bama did it once.
They did it once, whatever.
They got pretty damn lucky.
Yeah.
I saw some of the LSU fans were giving us some credit over the weekend on Twitter.
For showing them how to beat Alabama?
Yeah, you know that TJ LSU dad, or whatever?
I don't like that guy.
You don't like him? Well, he said, truth be told, let it be known, Tennessee exposed Alabama.
He's a clout chaser. He just wants some retweets from Tennessee fans.
Yeah, he got him.
He's a clout chaser.
He wasn't the only one, though. I saw some other people that said that.
What did we do exactly? Just hurt Tua? Because, I mean, like...
Well, that helped.
That seemed like it helped a little bit because Tua couldn't really move around, so...
He looked rough.
I don't know. I mean, like, the moment Gary Danielson, you know, said on Thursday or whenever he said it that, hey, Tua doesn't look healthy, from that moment on, I was like, yeah, they're going to lose this game. Gary was right. Tua didn't look good. Tua couldn't really move around.
Nah, he was struggling.
So if LSU wants to give us credit for hurting Tua, like, I'll take that. I don't know if we showed, like, the game plan to beat them or anything because, I mean, they had Mac Jones in.
The blueprint. They said Tennessee set the blueprint.
I'd imagine the game plan's a little different with Mac Jones in versus Tua. Although I don't know if our game plan against Tua was very good whenever he was in. I mean, he was 11 of 12, but we did get the interception off of him. So thanks, TJ, LSU dad.
That Alabama game kind of hurts. We had a real chance in that game.
Yeah.
I don't know that we would have won. I mean, I'm not saying we would have won.
The officiating, man.
Man, we yeah, the officiating was bad, and we
officiating took another big loss this weekend. Did you see what happened in the Cal Washington State game?
They suspended that guy too. The Pac-12 has actually done something that you never see the SEC do. They've actually acknowledged it, that it was a huge gaffe. They suspended the guy. Did you see that?
Yeah. I mean, it was a big play.
It was they had incorrectly assessed an illegal hands to the face penalty on Washington State.
And basically it was like, yeah, we caught it on the wrong guy, right? I mean, that was what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Pac-12 put out a statement that was just like, hey, we messed up with 10:14 remaining in the third quarter. Washington State received the kickoff and returned to the 50-yard line. The referee threw a flag on the play for a hands-to-the-face penalty. After the crew discussion, the foul was announced by the referee as hands-to-the-face on the receiving team. Washington State was penalized half the distance to the goal, so they had to start their drive at the 8-yard line. After the next play was run, the referee informed Washington State that there was an error in application of the penalty. The penalty should have been on the kicking team, number 15, not the receiving team, and this penalty should have been assessed on the California, or excuse me, at California at the end of the play, with the ball spot at California's 35-yard line. So, I mean, like, instead of getting the ball at the plus 35, you're at your own 8-yard line. My problem would have been like, hey, if you tell me this after that play, like, why don't we just pretend that play didn't happen? Like, why don't you just make this right? Or give me every call, like, call three straight pass interferences to give me the ball at the 35. You cowards.
Yeah, there should be some kind of correction for that.
I mean, like, it doesn't help Mike Leach.
No, it doesn't help at all when they just say, yep, well, we messed it up. You're right. I mean, they acknowledge it. I guess that's good, you know, but it doesn't help anything.
Yeah, shout out to them for being like, hey, we messed up, but it doesn't absolve you from the mess up that is, you know, that can't happen. I mean, that was obviously a huge play. We said it would have been on the 35-yard line instead of the 8.
I do appreciate the Pac-12 for suspending the guy.
Now, Washington State did go on and kick a field goal that drive, so they were able to score and cut the lead from 20-11 to 20-14, but they had to drive, you know, 60 yards just to do that, whereas they could have just had 35 yards for a touchdown. So they're not going to say, well, it's okay, we still scored. It's another bad weekend for officiating. That one's about as bad as it gets. There's one thing about missing calls and blowing things dead early and things, but like when you throw the penalty and then just can't communicate with each other and assess the penalty the wrong way.
It's just negligence.
Yeah, that's about as bad as it gets.
You know the SEC would never suspend the guy, though. If that happened in the SEC, I don't think we would suspend the guy.
I feel like if they had to, I don't know, man. The SEC, for as bad as they've been, hasn't assessed the penalty to the wrong team. Surely they would suspend him for that. Surely, right?
I don't know.
Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.